Hello and welcome to another episode of Ahead of the Curve, an Acadia podcast series that takes a deep dive into the derivatives industry. My name is Roland Stamm. I'm a partner at the Quantitative Services in Acadia. And with me today is Joey O'Brien, a senior consultant from the Quants team. Welcome, Joey.
Thanks, Roland. Delighted to be here.
It's great to have you on board. So what we're going to talk about today is especially counterparty credit risk, potential future exposure, PFE, as it's also known. And to take a step back first, we would like to speak a little bit about the open source risk engine, ORE, which is the tool which we are using to calculate these kinds of things. So can you tell me a bit about what ORE actually is?
Perfect. ORE is really an all-in-one suite in the financial risk space. It does everything from pricing to calculating sensitivities to capital charges, which we'll discuss during the course of this podcast. But it's a C++ library, which is enhanced for performance, which is crucial for the industry. And it has almost 20 years of experience. And I think you could probably speak a bit more to that founding story of the software.
Yeah, so ORE, the open source risk engine, started really as a small pricing library in the early 2000s, where we started using it to price complex trades that were not possible to price in other systems. And it gradually grew into a credit risk library, especially to calculate things like credit value adjustment, CVA, or potential future exposure, which we are going to talk about a bit later. And so that's its origin, and the idea to make it open source grew in the mid-2010s. And the market risk suite on top of that came a bit later.
And I think probably where ORE is used most on a daily basis is within Acadia's SIM services. So whether that's actually calculating SIM or the sensitivities which feed SIM, and SIM is the standardized additional margin methodology. So what most institutions do on a day-to-day basis, there's over 200 of them at the moment, is they use the graphical user interface. They click and play pretty much to calculate both sensitivities and SIM. But the workhorse behind the scenes that actually does those calculations is ORE. So the whole industry is practically using ORE every day, and perhaps they don't know it. But as part of that process of Acadia utilizing ORE, we've had to move through all the phases of clients over the number of years as SIM broadened its use cases. So those clients generally have all kinds of asset classes, different types of derivatives, and they generally have in-house systems which calculate sensitivities themselves as well. So as part of that process, ORE has essentially went through a validation process over the years because the numbers had to align with the systems for the confidence to be there. And we've definitely increased in confidence about ORE's capabilities as a result of that, so much so that we started to increase the amount of open source functionality which is out there. Every 3 months, we're practically introducing a release which increases the functionality of ORE for all kinds of risk and pricing analytics. But what's probably most exciting in the present and coming years, we hope, is institutions really embracing ORE as their in-house risk system, exactly as was the case in the project which resulted in the white paper we're going to talk about later. But maybe you could describe the project in a bit of detail first.
Yeah, so we have a large investment bank from the US that was interested in replacing first one in-house system with ORE and then started talking about replacing others as well to make it more streamlined, to save money on licensing costs, but also on infrastructure. Because obviously, when you only have one system that does multiple tasks, it's a lot cheaper to maintain that, even leaving the license fees that you don't have to pay for ORE aside. So the project started replacing the XVA engine, XVA meaning all sorts of value adjustments that you have to do when you are pricing derivatives. And from there, it grew really into a multi-system project where one of the tasks was to replace the stress testing for market risk, but also, and this is where the white paper then comes in, to do a potential future exposure engine replacement plus the backtesting of the potential future exposure engine. So that is actually what we want to talk about today, the backtesting, and maybe you can shed some light on that.
Yeah, so I think first of all, maybe in terms of what potential future exposures are, for maybe someone who doesn't know, it's the idea that you have a derivative with a counterparty, and at different times in the future, that derivative will have some value. And the question is really, what happens if the counterparty defaults? What is the amount of value that that derivative has, which would be at risk to you in the case of a default? And the idea with potential future exposures, or PFE, is that you want to provide an estimate as to what that is. So what the client wanted to do was to actually calculate PFEs across their portfolio. But to do that, they had to have a confidence that ORE was actually accurate and capable of calculating those numbers, because it's a difficult task. You have to have a simulation engine, first of all. So you have to be able to generate future values and determine the value of the portfolio in the future. So that's a considerable task, first of all. So if you think about, for example, a simple derivative like a Euro-USD swap, the main driving factor there is going to be, of course, the Euro-USD spot. But the question is, what's the Euro-USD spot in 30 years? You have to have models which can accurately reflect what might happen in the market. Of course, if we could do that, we probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
We'd have more things to do. So the only way you can really do that is thinking backwards in time. And that is the idea behind the back test of this potential future exposure. So the idea of what we did for the client was we took a number of risk factors, right? So just like the Euro-USD spot, and we looked backwards. So we pretended we were at a point in time in the past and then simulated as of that date, right? So for example, if we think of 1st of March 2013, we think about the market data on that date, we calibrate ORE to that market data, and then we simulate that spot rate or Euro-USD towards the future, so say 1 year. So on the 1st of March 2014, we now have a distribution from the model of that risk factor, that Euro-USD spot rate. Thankfully, that date has actually happened, so we can see what the real value of the Euro-USD spot rate was and see how that compared with ORE's estimation. So in terms of doing the backtest, what we wanted to do was to do that on a number of historical dates, compare how the model did performed in a number of scenarios for different risk factors, so FX spots and discount factors coming from yield curves, to give an indication as to how ORE would perform.
And what was the result of those investigations?
Very good. So in terms of the back testing process, we looked at over 10 years of individual dates. Right? So we took a daily simulation on every single day over the past 10 years. And we calculated the risk factor values 2 years into the future on each date. Okay, so that resulted in over 2,000 observations of where a risk factor would lie in the realized distribution. And in terms of estimating how the backtest actually went, that's a challenge in itself, really. So you have the realized value, which you want to compare to your simulated ensemble of risk factor paths. But in order to really understand whether or not you're performing well, you have to think in a detailed kind of manner. So for example, one of the subtleties, and there are a number, is the fact that there's going to be overlapping windows. So if we go back to this 1st of March 2013 date, if we just think about simulating 10 days into the future, okay, so the 11th of March, we would do that and we'd have a distribution and we could compare the 11th of March realized value to that distribution. The following day, right, so we did the exact same thing on the 2nd of March 2013, simulate to the 12th, we'd have the entire process done again, but there would be an overlap, right? So in the first case, we've done the 1st of March, 2nd of March, 3rd of March, and so on. On the next date, we're doing the 2nd, 3rd, 4th March onwards again. So there's an overlapping window, which has certain effects you need to consider from a statistical perspective as to how a backtest does. So there's a number of different subtleties like that you have to consider. But despite that, we could really generate good results. And if we consider an acceptable number based on that statistical approach, we passed every risk factor we looked at in terms of FX spots and discount factors.
Mm-hmm. And we should probably mention at this point that the market data that you use for that backtesting is extremely important, because as you say, you're looking back 10 years, even 15 years, whatever. So you need accurate and clean market data. And we should mention here that we have that kind of data because we also already have a backtesting service for SIM itself, which is a different type of backtesting, but the idea is the same. You want to check that the predictions of the SIM VAR, it's basically a value at risk number, are accurate over time and realize correctly, as you would expect. So what we also offer in Acadia is a SIM backtesting service. And for that service, we have built up a 15-year data history. And we are using that in that project to do the same, but with the PFE backtesting. Mm-hmm. Right. And what we should also probably mention is, why is this even relevant for others? I mean, obviously, it was relevant to the project for the people to get confidence that we are doing the right calculations. But it's actually something that is important for the entire industry. We are seeing more and more regulation putting more pressure on the way that counterparty credit risk is calculated. So PFE backtesting is something, if you look at the recent Basel Committee guidelines that they just published end of April, you will find that PFE is a topic, a very important one, and that backtesting of PFE is also a topic. So it is relevant for everybody, not just for our client in that particular project.
And I think counterparty credit risk was a very, very hot topic around 07, 08.
Obviously.
And the market has been a bit more stable in maybe the 10 years after that. But over the past 3 or 4 years, it has started to rear its head again, both through the Capitolis and the Archegos default events. So there is, as you mentioned, growing regulatory emphasis on these counterparty credit risk modelling to make sure that the industry and the markets are protected in the event of a default event by a large player. But I think one thing to point out is that the client project that we're talking about are using ORE from a counterparty credit risk modeling, a fully fledged situation whereby they are simulating risk factors, they are doing PFE evaluations using ORE. So that would fall under the internal model method, which is probably the most involved potential future exposure framework possible, in that you really are simulating PFEs and trying to estimate the potential value that your portfolio might have. An awful lot of institutions probably don't have the capability to do that if they're smaller. And also, there's risk associated with implementing those kind of models. They're hard to get validation and approval for. So is there simpler approaches, do you think, that institutions could be taking?
Yeah, I really think so. So some smaller institutions will definitely go with standardized methods, but there will always be the big banks that will have to do internal modeling in order to keep their capital cost down, right? So I don't see that both the internal modeling approach and the standard approaches have their value and will be used, and we will help the industry with both to get to grips with the regulation in that space. Maybe one thing that our listeners might be interested in, what's the name of the paper?
The white paper is called Backtesting of Future Risk Factors. It's available on Acadia.inc. And it's short, but it provides good detail about the regulatory guidance on backtesting PFEs and also the results from this POC, which hopefully a number of clients or potential clients even will find interesting.
So that was very interesting in terms of what we're doing currently. Can you tell us a bit maybe about what the future might hold for Acadia?
Well, like we've mentioned in the earlier conversation, the industry is very focused on counterparty credit risk and market risk in general at the moment. There's been a huge amount of literature coming out in the past year or two about the Basel III endgame and the Fundamental Review of the Trading Book, or FRTB, and its implementation. And What's interesting about FRTB, I think, is that it's fully standardized, right? It will be the same for practically everybody. And if you think back to the last great standardization of the financial market, which was SIM, we think Acadia is the brand name of SIM. And ideally, over the coming years, we'd want it to be the brand name for these new standardized calculations, which will come down the line. And based on what we're hearing in the industry, there's an awful lot of institutions of all sizes which are leaning towards these standardized calculations in terms of market risk capital charges. And ideally, especially in the case of smaller ones who maybe don't want to implement a calculation themselves, they would leverage ORE down the line in terms of doing these calculations. So do you think ORE is placed to do that? And what benefit would there be to using ORE to do that?
Well, first of all, obviously, because it is free of charge, that's a big advantage for everybody. I would say it's relatively easy to use, to integrate from our experience with integration projects. But I think another really, really big point is its transparency. Because it is open source, you see what it's doing. There's a truckload of documentation. There's support. We have done model validation projects left and right with our clients, model validating ORE itself. And as you said, the industry has validated it in terms of the service that we are offering. So you can rely on it. It's robust. It is well documented. It's transparent. So that is something that auditors and regulators really love, right? So I think that's a big, big selling point internally if you want to sell a migration project to your managers.
And I know we're talking about standardized, but from the earlier conversation about internal models, does that transparency within ORE help in the regulatory submission process of actually moving the models to production? Is that a good thing to have?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, there has been a huge drive in the industry over the past 10 to 15 years towards transparency as well, moving away from third-party systems. Of course, many large banks have their own in-house built systems, so they know what they're doing most of the time. But we've also encountered situations where the person who originally built the system has left, so nobody knows what it's doing anymore, and people are happy to have a system to replace it that is fully transparent. So yes, that is a big point that we see.
So it sounds practically like if you want to do an internal model approach, you can do PFEs within ORE if you really want to go that route. But we may also help in the standardized side as well. So it's an all-in-one suite, ideally, by the end of it. And hopefully it increases the use of ORE across the industry.
Yes, I surely hope so. And I really think that those use cases are real. So I hope we will see a move in that direction in the future.
Exciting times ahead.
Indeed. So we're running out of time. Thank you very much, Joey, for joining today.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of today's podcast, Ahead of the Curve. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to learn more, go to acadia.inc. We also have fantastic videos in the ORE Academy if you want to learn more about that. But also listen to our past episodes of Ahead of the Curve. And thank you very much.